What happens when there are more jobs open out there than people looking for them? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Yesterday, we learned there were 10.1 million job openings in the U.S. in June. That is a lot more than the 8.7 million Americans who were unemployed. On the one hand, this kind of thing's driven up wages for some people. On the other hand, employers in a lot of industries, restaurants, for example, have said this is really hard on them. They're having trouble filling positions. Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist with Payden and Riegel. He's here to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you make the argument that this is actually a good problem to have. Why?
We are seeing a huge surge in demand for American labor, for American workers. And, you know, when you think of all the different economic problems you could have, I think this is a good problem. This is great for U.S. workers and for U.S. consumers.
Now, employers obviously complain, you know, it's hard to find people to fill their positions. If you were to add back in the people who have left the labor force during the pandemic, do the numbers match up better?
Yeah, so I think one way to think of it is if we could imagine a scenario counterfactual where we did not have COVID, what would total employment levels be today? And we think it would be 9 to 10 million above where they currently are as of the July data. So with 10.1 million job openings available, I think that's very good news. It could be difficult the next few months for employers to find workers to match up to all these job openings, but it's a good problem to have.
A tighter labor market that pushes wages up, which is good for people getting those wages, but it can also drive inflation. Tomorrow, I guess we're going to get the consumer price index and find out.
What we found in recent decades, though, is that you can have wage growth and you don't necessarily see a sustained pickup in consumer price inflation. So I think the caution I would leave for listeners is that, yeah, you can cheer higher, faster wage growth and still have moderate inflation, stable prices.
Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden and Riegel. Thank you so much.
Have a great week.
The Senate is on track to approve President Biden's $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure plan today. A growing coalition of Democrats and Republicans supports the first phase of the president's rebuilding agenda. Emphasis on first phase. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab is here with the details. Good morning, Kristen.
Hi, Sabri.
So we have heard a lot about the White House and Republicans going back and forth on this. What are we going to see in this, the finalized version of an infrastructure plan the Senate will, we think, pass?
The Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act has all the things you think of when you hear the word infrastructure: roads, bridges, broadband internet, water pipes, and more. And it includes money to mitigate climate change, rolling out electric vehicle charging stations, cleaning up polluted sites, and making schools, ports, and other structures better prepared for extreme weather. It's one of the biggest investments of its kind in years.
Now, this stuff, all this stuff, this is what a lot of lawmakers agree on, right? This is the bipartisan part of the whole thing at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty popular among lawmakers in both parties because it would bring federal money to cities and states that often can't afford these projects on their own. Also, polls show that Americans are mostly supportive of the plan. But this is where agreement in the Senate will probably end. Next up, it'll consider a framework for a $3.5 trillion resolution full of social and climate actions. Republicans feel it's too big and too expensive.
You know, one concern we've heard them bring up is that when you are going to spend trillions of dollars more in an already hot economy, you might end up fueling inflation. What are you hearing about that?
Some lawmakers have expressed concern about how a flood of federal money would impact the economy. But Chad Stone, chief economist at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, says the package is designed to mitigate inflationary risks. The investments will be spread out over a number of years, and the more immediate spending will expand the economy's capacity to produce goods and services.
And expanding that also relieves pressure on inflation because you have more capacity to satisfy the demand.
The Senate is expected to vote around 11 a.m. Eastern. Then the plan will go to the House.
All right. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mainland China in June passed a law that said anyone involved in imposing sanctions on China for whatever reason could be denied entry into the country or expelled. Now, Hong Kong looks likely to take up the same law. This could make things very complicated for multinational firms operating in Hong Kong. The BBC's Andrew Wood has the latest.
The United States has put sanctions on mainland and Hong Kong officials, including the territory's leader, Carrie Lam. That's to protest Beijing's imposition of a draconian national security law to suppress dissent in the city, and also the treatment of ethnic Muslims in the Chinese province of Xinjiang. Now, Ms. Lam says Beijing wants Hong Kong to incorporate the mainland's anti-sanctions legislation into the territory's mini-constitution, the basic law. And if this happens, companies in Hong Kong will face punishment if they obey foreign sanctions against China, while also facing punishment for not obeying them from the countries that impose them. Workers and their families at companies that follow foreign sanctions could be denied visas or deported. Assets could be confiscated. In Hong Kong, I'm the BBC's Andrew Wood for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
There are millions of different kinds of jobs in this economy, some you might have never even thought of. At NASA, for example, there is someone whose job it is to smell every object that goes up into space. Why, you ask? Marketplace's podcast for kids, Million Bazillion, talked to a NASA nose to find out.
My name is Susana Tapia Harper, and I'm the manager for NASA's Material Flight Acceptance Standard Test Group, where we do material safety testing for the agency. So at NASA, we do a lot of testing to make sure that the environment and the air that the astronauts are breathing is not going to make anybody sick. And so we want to make sure that it's not toxic in any way. Here on the Earth, you can open a window to get fresh air if something's bothering you. But in space, you can't. So we want to make sure that that's safe to breathe. But we also want to make sure that the odors, even if they might not be, in fact, toxic, that they don't bother people and distract them. We need the astronauts to be able to focus 100% on the job that they're there to do. And so if it's stinky up there, it can be distracting. It can make astronauts lose their concentration. And we don't want them to make a mistake because they're not being able to concentrate on their job. One test in particular that stands out, though, for me, is an odor containment trash bag test that we did. And in that test, we filled the bag with vomit or simulated vomit. We filled it with moldy food trash. And we filled it with diapers because astronauts wear diapers. And those diapers were filled and dirty. So we put all those things inside of a trash bag to evaluate if that trash bag could contain the odor and for how long, to verify that they can in fact contain the smell for long periods of time and make sure that our astronauts can be in a comfortable place instead of smelling stinky trash. Up to now, even though there's a lot of fancy technology out there, the human nose is absolutely the most sensitive detector that exists. And what we've noticed over time is that it appears that as people exercise that smell like a muscle, that skill, that it gets better and better over time. And so I think people who really like food or taste wine are familiar with that, even chefs, that the more you try to taste things or smell different things and really evaluate them, that you actually get better at it.
This comes to us from Marketplace's podcast, Million Bazillion, answering the questions kids have about money. Season 2 is on podcast listening apps now. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.